Testing, testing, hot out, bound car, 1, 2, 3, 4. Johnny,
are you ready?
Make the approach. Plant your feet firmly in the ground. Head down. Eyes on the ball. Relax. That's it. Get your left arm straight. Your right arm straight. Relax. Lower your right shoulder. Go!
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars, Joe Conti and Louis Fats.
Welcome, fellow raccoons and members of the Women's Auxiliary. What's happening, all you Hurricanes, Bensonhurst Bombers, and all you Mr. Gordons of the world? You're going to have to dig deep to figure that out.
Yeah, I'll look for that one.
You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conti, and my pal, Louis Fats.
Done to a turn.
Yeah, the only discussion-based podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the non-productive studios in Clifton, New Jersey. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and leave a positive review because we read them.
Yeah, we do.
Our home base is the non-productive site. That's non-productive.com/honeymooners. And also like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page. And also follow us on Twitter. What's happening, Lou?
Joe, number 44.
Number 44.
Got some good 44s.
What do we got for 44s?
We have the Syracuse University legacy of Jim Brown, Ernie Davis, Floyd Little.
Really?
All wore 44, and I believe Syracuse has since retired the number. It used to be that number they'd give to their like star or the one they thought would be. But they all wore 44.
But Jim Brown was obviously a running back.
Running backs. Ernie Davis, also running back.
And what about
Floyd Little, running back.
See, I don't remember who Floyd Little was.
Floyd Little was the last of the three. I remember him played for the Denver Broncos. Had a really nice career.
Oh,
with the Broncos.
Did he get to wear that number too, also?
I don't remember. I think he may have. I just don't recollect. That's a good question.
Very nice.
Yeah. So these are all the 44s. We also have Big Mac, Willie McCovey.
44. Oh, Willie McCovey.
And.
Yes.
Henry Aaron, as Tom Seaver would refer to him as. Henry, never Hank.
Scary, though, because you're mentioning Henry Aaron.
Yeah, I know. I can mention another 44, but I won't.
As a Mets fan, I think you'd like to.
Yeah, but people know who I'm talking about. He will not get mentioned on this show.
For many reasons right? Yeah. So, welcome, everybody. Thank you. We had, it was about a 10-day hiatus.
Yeah.
Louis went on vacation.
I was in Nantucket.
Yes, and how was it?
It was fabulous.
Yes?
Fabulous. I almost got hired as help.
But then you told them you're big shots,
I
obviously.
Said we're big shots. I said, you are making a mistake.
Arf. Arf. Well, because for anybody not on the East Coast, Nantucket, Massachusetts, very fancy,
well-to-do, two ways in, ferry or airplane, only two ways in.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
And the only way out is through a trust fund.
Trust fund.
But welcome back, obviously, and we wanted to start off real quick by we're getting more and more of these iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
And we appreciate them. So I wanted to read our latest one, or the next one in our list, because I think we've done all of them so far. And we got more. We got like three or four that we just got in the last couple of days. This one is from Mr. Michael, and it's called Good Clean Fun. And it's Mr. Michael says, love this podcast. Born in the early in Brooklyn, and the Honeymooners was a rite of passage for everyone at this time. For Brooklyn people, this was our show. You guys capture the feeling of being with friends when we first devoured it. The show was still a masterpiece of pop culture, and you highlight all the reasons. Everything clicked for those 39 eternal episodes. The only show that comes close is another Channel 11 staple, The Odd Couple.
Yes, there you go.
I knew. That's why I want to read this one, because I knew Louis would love that.
Yeah.
You guys get this show, the details, and the moments that only true Honeymooners addicts understand. Love the flubs, too. More. Well, thank you, Mr. Michael,
The
very, very nice review on iTunes. And don't forget, if you want to call and leave us a voicemail so we could play your voicemail if you want to tell us a quick minute story on how you, whatever. You want to just say something to us because we don't do the show live, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the show, it's 240-442-2635. And it'll say Conti and Kenny's show voicemail, but it's my that's my other show. I'm the only person that listens to voicemails. And then if you you leave a voicemail, we'll play it on the show.
And also the email. We have bangzoom1956@gmail.com.
Which we get a lot of good emails.
We get some good emails.
You know, whether it's a...
We have a hardcore...
Yeah, These
same people, and they just love it.
Yeah,
and we answer them. We answer
absolutely. You know, whether it's Lunatic Ira screaming at us or whatever, critiquing, saying... Even when he tells us he loves the show, he sounds angry, right? And me and Ira, we've had our little discussions on Facebook, but it's all cool.
Bibs is great.
Bibs, I want to make a whole bit about Bibs' emails, I swear, because his emails are so funny.
Put them up on Facebook.
Yeah, you know what? Good idea.
Put them on our page.
Yep, good idea. What am I doing? Why don't I do that? That's why I have no career, not only because I have lack of talent, but I don't know how to promote anything. So, unbelievable. But thank you, all you guys who email us and everybody. We appreciate everything you guys do. Number 44, here we go.
Start off.
First we want to do is one of those, what is it, the new jokes, right?
Yeah, the jokes that just quite
didn't quite
make it.
And whether it was the audience who didn't do it, or maybe there was like a little bit of a mush up in what they said. I think that's where
the joke just was awful.
Maybe the joke was awful. But most of the ones we were doing is ones we think are good.
Are good, yeah.
That at least deserve a chuckle or an acknowledgement. This one got a chuckle. But I think it probably would have... all right. But anyway, here's the promo for it. Here we go. Intro. I recognize that song.
The Honeymooners Podcast.
I hate that guy's voice.
Ugh. I wouldn't send a night out on a dog like this. Don't you get it? I wouldn't send a night out on a dog.
No, I don't get it. I don't think it's funny.
Jokes that didn't get the love that they deserved.
All right, so...
I heard him.
Ooh, I almost...
Oh,
my God. Wow, I almost stepped on that. What's wrong with me? That's like stepping on top hand, dress pant, drawer. What's wrong with me?
You've done that twice already.
Unbelievable. All right. I get very awkward when I hear my own voice that I'm like, all right, let's just get to this quickly, you know? But all right, this one is a line from Ed Norton, Art Carney. In the Mambo episode,
everyone
loves. You'll never hear a Honeymooners fan go, yeah, it's not one of my favorites. Like, they're not a Honeymooners fan. Exactly. So we'll play the line and then we'll discuss it. Here we go.
But you know in your heart and soul, Norton, that you wouldn't trade your place with that guy next door for anything in the world.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's one consolation. He won't be living alone much longer.
What are you talking about?
After he eats Trixie's potato salad, he'll be needing a new nurse, and he won't be living alive.
Okay. So, you say what you think he said completely.
I think he says...
Dusty on that hole.
We'll save that for later.
Yeah, we'll save that for later.
He says, you'll be needing a new nurse, and then I don't know what else he says after that.
Right.
And it would be like, but you would think he would be saying, he'd be needing a new nurse to... keep him company the whole time.
Or around the clock.
Around the clock.
But he just kind of goes, he'll be needing a new nurse.
Anybody out there knows what he says?
Yeah.
Tell us.
That would be a great thing. Because I'm not sure.
Yeah, we're not sure. Play again, Jeff.
Definitely play it again. Here we go.
But you know in your heart and soul, Norton, that you wouldn't trade your place with that guy next door for anything in the world.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's one consolation. He won't be living alone much longer.
What are you talking about?
After he eats Trixie's potato salad, he'll be needing a new nurse, and he won't be living alone.
He won't be living alone. I guess he's trying to say.
I guess
he just doesn't finish off. He like fades it out.
Yeah, yeah. He was just like living more little, and then
whatever.
And then go ahead, continue, Ralph.
Really? Okay. And then Ralph almost like shocked, like he don't even know what to say.
No idea.
He has no idea what to say. He pauses and like. He's yeah, ready because, to flub something.
Yeah, and Gleason's like, yeah. Well, I didn't rehearse with you, so I don't really know what you just said.
Although I got to say, Joe, it was really nice of Trixie to prepare like a quarter of a potato. I mean, how much was in that bowl?
I know. It was a shot glass of potato salad.
Potatoes.
Listen, sir, if you like, you don't even need a spoon. Just grab a toothpick and just stick it in the one piece of potato that's in there. But yeah, so it's almost like it could be a flub.
Yeah,
but
it's a strange thing.
Yeah,
it's flubbish. You know, it's on the precipice of flub.
Almost flubbish, or you like know, a, he mushed it. You know, I almost sound like some of my Jewish friends. Almost like he mushed it. You know what I mean? I know it's not a word, but he mushed it. But it's just funny because you're like, I always look. The thing is, it got a chuckle
because
I think people. They knew what he meant.
That anticipation thing that you talk about
and
all the
because
time.
Because he set it up. Because he won't be living alone much longer. Because when he eats Trixie's potato salad, he'll be need. Mm. And you heard need new nurse.
Yeah, it's tough.
And
yeah.
that basically solidified the joke. That solidified the joke completely. I don't know why this thing is ringing. But anyway, I'll close that. Make sure. So anyway,
that was good for my eardrum.
Yes. So that's kind of where
it was,
we thought.
Awkward. It ended awkward.
Yes.
And then Ralph was like even more awkward because it's like he's like doesn't know where he is right now. He's trying to say something and
he's trying to up the checkers
thing.
He's like, you know what? I'm just going to go in that dusty hall over there and I'll come back in. Yeah, I'll cough again. I'm dusty in the hall. So that's pretty much where we're starting this show today.
Art Carney. Yeah,
I know it's Ed Norton. Art Carney. But anyway. That was Art Carney kind of mushed it.
Well,
he
actually did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The brilliant Art Carney.
Ain't got no help from Gleason.
And that was evident until 1985 when they worked again together.
Didn't even rescue him.
I know. He could have pulled it, put his hand out, then he would have left his arm there,
Something. Yeah. Something. He could have did something.
All right. Anyway. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to do it's an observation, I think. It's considered an observation. I'm sorry. I always have to look and
what their observation.
Yeah,
intro?
I don't think anybody. I think they actually enjoy this. They're like,
oh, here they go again.
Conti, it doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
This is why I've been doing comedy for 20 years, and I'm sitting in basically somebody's living room almost doing this
studio.
Show. Yeah, exactly. But here we go.
And now, from the observation deck overlooking the Johnson Building at 328 Chauncey Street, the Honeymooners Podcast presents Louie's Observations.
All right. Louie's Observations.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to take credit for this one.
Yeah, go.
Even though it's Louie's Observation, but I'm going to take credit for this one.
It's only the title.
Most of them are Louie's. Anyway. Let's just be honest, all right? Most of them were Louie's Observations. Now, this one, this is an observation from one of my favorite episodes, which is Brother Ralph.
Brother Ralph. Joel loves Brother Ralph.
Love Brother Ralph.
That I know.
So many things That's about Brother Ralph that I love.
Yeah.
I'll just play it, and then you guys can maybe figure out what the observation is.
I hope you won't be too chilly, Alice. I've got the top down.
I'm going with you, and I'm bringing naught.
Ralph.
Yes?
That will not be necessary. I will be perfectly all right.
Well, I got another idea. Look, why don't you work here tonight? There's plenty of light and everything.
We have a 20-watt bulb.
Don't see why not. I've got the portable typewriter in the car and the papers. I could bring them up.
Yeah, you can.
Go right ahead and do that, Tony Powell.
I'll be right back, Alice.
All right.
Okay. All right. So, it's funny, and you mentioned it. Here's my observation. So they're going to go into a professional office where this company, this fictitious company pays.
We don't know what they do.
Don't know what they do. They pay a bunch of money for rent in New York City to be this thriving office, right, to do work, and they have their files, and maybe they have typewriters, and maybe some, I don't, they didn't have fax machines back then, but no, a bunch of different things.
They had George and Bill and Pete.
yeah, with Frank and George and Pete and Bill. And so what does Ralph say? Well, why don't you work here tonight? There's good light and everything. Yeah. Good light? Light? That's the criteria that this place needs for them to do work.
You don't need files.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, what is it, 22 watt light bulb? And
the open window.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, that doesn't have a blind or shades or curtains.
Exactly. So this dingy apartment. Right. They definitely pay less rent for the apartment than they do for that office.
Oh, without a doubt.
But apparently this office is good enough for them to do work, yeah, which I just found to
has
be.
A, has a water cooler, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because she could be a riot at home, maybe by the sink instead of the water cooler. So that was my observation. And then, of course, at the end, he's like, "What, you could do that, Tony Powell. Because he's all thrilled,
yeah.
You know, that they're not going to go to this office, where apparently he thinks some hanky-panky or something is going to happen.
And Tony should ask him, "So, Ralph, where do you and your sister sleep?" I see two rooms here.
Yeah, exactly. Sleep in the sink. Sleep in the sink. Or do you take two chairs and put them on the side?
On the floor.
Right. And then walk out in the hallway and go down the steps because you're, But obviously, that was my little thing. Like, it's got good light and everything. Good light and everything.
Like, what's the everything? We know it doesn't have good light.
It doesn't even have good light, like, let alone everything.
There's a nice box there in case you need something to drink.
Hey, listen, if you need any pick-a-lily or chow-chow.
It's in the icebox. Yes. Yeah. Alice may have to defrost it while she's doing your inventory sheets, but don't worry.
Yeah, so that was my little observation.
Yes, those observations.
On one of my favorite episodes, Brother Ralph.
Brother Ralph.
But yeah.
Great episode.
Yes. Great episode. I love it. So we're going to go with our next little thing, and this one is, we're going back old school, and here it is.
And now, the Honeymooners Podcast presents...
It's not in the top hand, dress-hand drawer!
The Flub of the Week.
Haven't heard in so long.
I know! It's like I'm watching a brand new sporting event. Again, yeah. It was like brand new. Oh, my goodness. All right, so, Flub of the Week. We got a new... it's a flub we never did before.
No.
And this is one that Louis noticed. And we're also, it's great because we're going to compare it to where what was supposed to be said.
Yeah, then we'll break it down after that.
Here we go. Here's the flub.
So he gives me a little thing to say that whenever I'm steamed up, I say this little thing and I'm not nervous.
Steamed.
Well, like what?
As I said, you're not going to believe this. Here it is. He says, whenever I get steamed, I say this. Pins and needles... Needles and pins.
Awkward pause.
Forgot his line.
It's a happy man that grins. Then I smile to myself. And then I say, what am I mad about? And it works. I couldn't think of what I was mad about.
Couldn't, huh?
And I've been aggravated several times tonight.
Really? You mean you tried it out already?
Why, certainly. I was aggravated as soon as the doctor gave me the bill.
Good job. Very good job. All right, so... Louis, your observation is, the observation of the flub.
The flub, there is, you could see him, like Joe said, he paused.
He looks
both ways.
Be like he's going to cross the street.
Like he's crossing Himrod Street. He's like, so he's got, he pauses because at the point it looks like he's forgetting the second half of this little poem.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Pins and needles. Needles and pins. Pauses. Right.
Looks both ways.
Right.
Crosses the street and then says, "It's a happy man that grins."
Right.
And he goes into his thing. What am I mad about? Blah blah blah.
Yep.
Now Joe's going to play the second half.
Yep. And we're going to see how accurate he was on that. And here we go.
Pins and needles. Needles and pins. A happy man is a man that grins.
All right.
Okay, so there it is.
They say
go ahead.
pins and needles, needles and pins. It's it's a happy man.
A happy man is a man who grins.
A happy man is a man who grins. Or who grins.
That grins or whatever, right. Whatever they say. But the thing is, they change it. Now, we know.
Right. That. Now, for them, for Alice and Ed to say the same thing at the same time.
Yes.
Not completely different, but different than what Ralph said. Obviously, Jackie Gleason messed it up.
Because this is going back to when we did our show on Bert Wiedemeyer.
Yes.
When he said Bert Wiedemeyer.
Instead of Bert Wiedemeyer.
Who's Bert Wiedemeyer? Like, yeah. Well, how would you know Bert Wiedemeyer if he just called him Bert Wiedemeyer?
He should have said, who's Bert Wiedemeyer? I'm talking about Bert Wiedemeyer.
Yeah. So this is the same thing. So how could... They're hearing the poem from Ralph.
Right.
But then when they recite it...
Together at the same time. It's different. And they both say the same thing. So it's obviously Jackie Gleason messed it up, which makes sense why he stopped and paused. And the brilliance of Jackie Gleason is that he kind of gave them the look like guess what? Here it's coming. Here it comes.
And it ain't what's in the script.
And it ain't what's in the script. But yeah, so you see. So he goes... pins and needles, needles and pins. A happy man.
No, it's a happy man who grins.
It's a happy man who grins.
That's what he said. He leaves out. A happy man is a man who grins.
He
leaves that out. The first part.
Right. And look, it wouldn't even been something we would have because it's not a flub in a sense where he messed up.
No, there's no stumble.
There's no messing up the word because
he forgets it.
But he didn't say it exactly how it was supposed
to be said.
And you would have never known until two other characters at the same time, like they're doing a duet, say it with this extra couple of words in it that they could have never both ad-libbed that at the same time.
Exactly. So that's it.
That was the flub.
Absolutely beautiful.
Good flub of the week.
Very, very good flub of the week. So now we're going to go with a... I don't know if this would be considered a flubservation, but it's something I noticed... Remember we did a while ago where it was an error in the script.
Script error, yes.
A script thing where when Ed lost his job. And he said, you're fired. And then never told her that he threatened his boss. Then when he walks out, she goes, Ed was fired. He threatened his boss. Told him he was going to leave.
Yeah.
So this is in the same vein.
That vein, yeah.
All right. And this is, where is it? Da, 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 no nurse. I can't. There we go. So, this is also in Brother Ralph. And this is when they're talking about Alice's boss.
Right.
Who Ralph is saying, he's going to try to make a date with her because she said that Ralph was her brother.
Brother, right. And this, we don't know what Tony looks like.
Nobody knows what Tony looks like.
And Ralph's assuming that he's single.
Right.
That he's
Ralph is talking about it with Ed, saying, her boss thinks that I'm his brother. And then this happens.
Not. Of course, I ain't the jealous nature like you. By the way, what does Alice's boss look like?
How do I know? I never saw him.
Oh, boy, Ralph. You are beautiful.
Very attractive.
You're very attractive.
That's a great line.
Yes, Judy, you're building this whole thing up in your mind. You haven't even seen Alice's boss yet. You're building the whole thing up in your mind. You got any idea what some bosses look like? Got to get a load of my boss down in the sewer. She is the ugliest woman that ever lived.
That's a good line.
Great line.
Maybe you're right, Norton. Maybe I'm building this whole thing up in my mind.
Of course I'm right. Alice's boss is probably 90 years old, bald, hadn't got any teeth.
I love that.
Probably some stupid mooks.
Yeah. Hey, that's probably him now. I'm surprised he's got the strength to knock.
He's so happy.
Come in.
Come in. That's so great. So great. Come in.
Come in.
And then, of course, handsome Tony Amico.
It's not August Gunther walking in. It's Tony Amico.
It's not August Gunther. It's not August Gunther, who actually would have been the perfect person that would just be what they thought.
What they thought.
In other words, they're thinking, oh, yeah, it's somebody who looks exactly. like August Gunther.
Their picture of the boss would right. be August Gunther.
Right, exactly. And then, of course, it's this handsome leading man.
Yeah.
But here's the observation of the script error. Ralph does not tell Ed that her boss is on the way over. Yeah. All he says is, oh, her boss, she told him that I'm her brother.
Yeah.
He's liable to make a date with her.
Right.
When he knocks on the door, the first thing Ed says is, huh?
That's probably him now, right?
That's probably him now. Right. And he probably doesn't have the strength to open the door. Right. Why would he know? Why would he think her boss would be knocking on the door?
There's like no reason to think
that way. Now, maybe he, because it almost, when I was looking at it and recording the clip, it looked like Ralph was about to say that. Like, he almost looked like he was about to say, and that's probably him, you know, he probably doesn't have to, but Art Carney said it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was supposed to be Jackie Gleason's line. I don't know. But the point is that maybe Gleason was supposed to mention, and he's on his way over here right now to pick her up.
Yeah. And that would be the logical thing to set up Norton's line.
And of course, because Jackie never rehearsed,
he probably forgot to say it. Like pins and needles and pins.
And then, of course, 65 years later,
Joe discovers this.
We discover this. And by the way, I didn't realize it, but this week was the 65th year.
Oh yes,
anniversary of the first episode.
Yes,
which I think it was the end of. I think it was either October 1st or a couple of days ago.
Okay,
where it not the lost episodes, obviously, but
no, the TV or not TV.
Yep, TV or not TV. Original 39 years, 65 years ago. This week, somewhere around this time. When it originated.
If you have the DVD set, it says the date on it, the airing date.
Yeah,
I know that it.
I know, like episode 2 or 3, it might have been 2, was October 1st, 1955.
Oh, okay. Oh, there
so
you go.
It's right around this time.
Right.
Just mm-hmm. to say, you know, yep. it was all in the newspapers, you know. But yeah, so I found it to be a bit of a script error.
Yeah.
That he would think that was, because your first reaction as somebody, a guest at somebody's home, is thinking, well, who's that?
Yeah.
Not, it's probably him now.
It's probably him now. Like,
what? There's no way you would think that. Like, exactly. Why would
thinking Alice's boss is knocking on the door.
Exactly.
But if Ralph makes that statement before setting it up,
right?
Then it's all like, legit.
Oh, you know, and he's on his way over right now to pick her up.
Yeah, that would have been perfect.
Perfect.
Then Norton's line would have went in.
Yeah,
we wouldn't be talking about it right now.
Yeah, and we would have less to do.
We'd have to add something else we have on our list.
So I thank the spirit of Jackie Gleason for messing that up because it gives us a little bit more material. All right. The next thing we want to do, the next two little clips we want to do are from Dial J for Janitor.
Good one.
And then I have to say this before before we started recording, Louis comes in with his, you know, 8 pages of notes and he goes,
note stuff.
Yeah. And then he says it, and I wanted to punch him in his mouth because he said, it's from Dial J. I'm like, really? You're shortening the episode like you're some smarmy guy with a fancy twisty mustache. It's from Dial J. He didn't even say the whole episode. Title. It's from Dial J. All right there, JM. LF.
LF.
Hello. Hey, JC, LF. Hey, how are you? The first one is, I think it's more of a joke that didn't quite get a laugh.
Yeah, you could put it in that category.
Right?
Yeah, like, it didn't get enough love.
Yeah, it didn't get enough love. And
I think people just totally missed it.
Yeah.
Or it was
without that. Or it just
bad.
Or it just stunk. Should we do the joke that didn't hit intro?
If you want. You want to hear your voice again?
Oh, God, I forgot. I'm taking my headphones off. The Honeymooners Podcast presents.
Ah, this is good. I like
this. I wouldn't spend a night out on a dog like
this. Make sure I don't want
just
to
step don't on step
her.
On Alice again.
Okay. I wouldn't spend a night out on a dog.
No, I don't get it. I don't think it's funny.
You can cut it now.
Jokes that didn't get the love that they deserved.
I heard him. I heard him.
Okay, there we go. All right, now we can turn this idiot's voice off. God, I hate my voice. All right, so this is... Louis found that he thought that this should have... We'll just play it.
Yeah, just play it.
Here we go. Yeah. I over-explain everything. Here we go.
Well, that's what you get. That's what you get for treating a janitor in the correct manner. That's my thanks for giving him a Christmas present. I didn't have to do that, you know. I could have smoked that cigar myself. I didn't have to do that.
Well, since you're the one that's so good to the janitor, Ralph, why don't you run down and ask him to fix a few things around here?
Don't worry, I will. Up to now, I've been a little too lenient. I've only been down here 5 or 6 times this week. But from here on in, he's going to know that I live in this building.
All right. Okay,
so there it is. Basically, so I've only been down here 5 or 6 times, which was like a ton of times.
And he also prefaces it by saying, I've been lenient with him. Lenient. I've only been down there five or six times. So I'm thinking, this is just me thinking out loud. I'm thinking that 5 or 6 times, in theory, is funny. Because you're like, you went to see the janitor five or six times this week.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not quite exaggerated enough to generate a laugh.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, if he would have said, yeah, well, you know, I've been too lenient on him. I've been down there 13 or 14 times already. You instantly know... There's no way he's done that.
Right.
And it's funny.
Right.
Maybe 5 or 6 times sounds almost realistic. If you're a bit of an annoying tenant, you could do that. But that's what I'm thinking. I just thought of it right now.
I think that's kind of way of looking at it. Yeah.
But I don't think they were expecting, you know, a funny thing to come out of that at that moment.
Yeah.
Like we've said, like sometimes because of the characters or because of the timing of when the joke is said.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good example because it is funny.
And then, like you said, the word lenient preceding it.
Sets it up. Perfectly.
But like you said, maybe if I was only been down there 12, 13 times, like we talked about exaggeration with with Judge Hurdle. $50 fine, a 50-minute lecture.
Right.
It worked. It's a gross exaggeration, but it worked.
And it worked perfectly because it was $50 fine, 50-minute lecture.
Yeah.
It was almost musical. $50 fine, 50-minute lecture.
It worked. It's an exaggeration when you really look at it, like $500 fine, and he's always talking to you for an hour.
For an hour.
So that, if you really...
Almost an hour.
Getting berated by a judge.
I'm not Ted Bundy.
Yeah, because you double parked on Kosciuszko Street.
You're going to get a 50-minute lecture. I didn't murder 11 women. I double parked. I have a ticket outside for parking of in front of a fire hydrant. that's great.
So that's the exaggeration. And maybe this wasn't exaggerated enough.
Maybe.
The 5 or 6 probably... Should have
been.
Do it.
Should have been, you know, but.
10 or 12. Maybe just that 10 or 12, that double digit number.
Yeah, would have 12 or 13 times. Yeah. 13 times. Yeah. I've only been down there 12 or 13 times.
Yeah.
And maybe in our heads, we're thinking he's being funny. Like the character himself, he's exaggerating.
Or maybe just Ralph, people are thinking that he's. I mean, sometimes he's not funny all the time. He tried to be, but there's things that you say. Seriously, that are setting
up. Of course,
the next
setting
scene,
up for
next
the funny
joke,
part. Absolutely.
And, you know, and then Alice comes out with a great line after all that. With I guess he didn't give you the good, nice Christmas present
like you did.
That's a phenomenal line. One of my favorite Alice lines.
It's such a great line.
So that's that. With that,
absolutely.
With that joke that didn't get enough love.
Yep. And this is just. I don't even have to say anything about it because you're going to know exactly why we're playing this. From the same episode, by the way.
Dial J.
Dial J. You jerk.
Well, I guess that does it. Now I'll tell all the tenants in the building that the house phone is in and they can buzz me.
Attention, everyone!
I love this. I love this.
Everybody in the building! Hear this! The house phone is in. If you want me, just buzz. You don't have to yell in the hall anymore.
Dusty out in that hall.
Well, I mean, I gave everybody because the whole thing was just funny.
Yeah.
But the crux of it is obviously the, and plus now it's part of the show.
Part of our show. It's show is always coughing. And we're
yeah, exactly.
And we like that line better than it pays to buy the best.
Right.
We love Dusty in that hall.
Yeah. It went. It started at pays to buy the best. Yeah. And it has morphed into Dusty in the hall. But it's just so great because, first of all, he's screaming in the hallway. You know, obviously, you know, the great voice with Jackie Gleason.
We have two things here. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. So, first of all, he says, everybody in the building, we have the house phone is in. You don't have to scream in the hallway anymore.
Like, what did they do? Like, Mr. Crampton, can you fix my pipe?
Eureka! My garbage can is full.
So nobody went on his came down and knocked on his door and said, like, Ralph, can you fix my whatever, like my window?
True, very nice Brooklynites. Like,
everybody yelling in the...
Mr. Cramden, would you please clean my sink?
They're yelling in the hall.
They're yelling in the hall.
Ralph!
Hey, Cramden!
Fix my pipe!
It's Jealous McGarity!
McGarity. So this is like, that's the first thing. You don't have to yell in
the hallway anymore.
While he's yelling in the hallway. He's yelling in the hallway. Which just makes it funnier.
So
it's
funny.
It's funny.
Absolutely.
And the way he does it in the hall, it's great. Because he does have a nice booming voice, and it just...
And also, they're in a studio, so the echoing,
like he actually is talking in a hallway.
And it sounds like legit, like he's in a hallway.
Now, here's the second part of this. Now, me and Joe, we've discussed this, and people can argue and discuss this all you want.
Amongst your friends.
Yes. The cough.
The cough.
Now, I said to Joe, my take on this is that it's a real cough when he first comes in, and then... He coughed, and then he played on that cough. Did you see? You hear Joel play it for you again.
Yeah, we won't play the whole thing. I'll just get to the cough.
Wait, we'll get to the cough, and you hear it like he kind of he expanded on the cough.
He, in his brilliant mind, thought, okay, I just coughed because I'm screaming
in the hall.
In the hall.
Mm-hmm.
So why not? And why not?
Don't have to yell in the hall anymore. Dusty out in that hall.
Now I believe that Earth was he. That was him.
That's him expanding on his original real cough.
Right, doing the Earth, which is usually when he's acting regal.
Acting regal. Yeah, right. You know, I'm a big shot. You know, I'm a big shot. I'm an executive. Big shot. And he's
Earth.
Now, the second part of that is it's Dusty out in that hall. Now, we believe, Rachel, go ahead, that he ad-libs this line.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes. I wasn't sure where you were.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Yeah.
Yes. I believe he absolutely, I don't believe anybody would disagree with us that he ad-libbed Dusty out in that hall because that was a real cough.
Yes.
Because Gleason smoked 11 packs a day.
That was in the morning.
5 or 6 packs a day.
Now, if you fast forward to the end of the episode where he's down in the basement, he coughs again.
When he's opening the schematic.
The plans.
The scroll, right?
Yeah, the scroll.
And he actually coughs into his hand.
Into his hand, yeah.
You know, because, you know, it was only 30 years past the pandemic. So they had to make sure, you know, everything was good.
Cough into his elbow, like he was supposed to. But, so I'm thinking, and we were thinking, we were talking, discussing this, that he had this little cough thing going that day.
Probably.
You know.
Absolutely.
So we don't know how many packs he smoked before the show. So we don't know. So he had this little cough going. So the one, there was a legit cough in the hallway.
Yeah.
And then there was a legit cough.
Absolutely. There was no reason for him to cough into his hand when he was doing that. There was, you know, and he just didn't do anything with it.
No.
He just
went on and opened the plans up and said to Norton, your whatever he says to him, your trouble is down here.
Right. Yep.
And because I said to Joe, we were about it pays to buy the best. They, to me, looked like they were a little like, you know, they were just made up. Like he's making up.
I think in Funny Money, because Funny Money, that was the second episode.
Because
he does it again in Woman's Work Is Never Done.
Yeah, when he's hiring the maid.
And that one,
See, now you think he started out as a real cough and then he played it up again.
Maybe, because I think in Funny Money, it was he...
That's a bogus cough. That's bogus. He's just right. He's just doing that. Yeah.
He did that. Yeah. I believe. I don't even think it was in the script.
No.
I think that was him just because he was Jackie Gleason. Jackie Gleason. He could do whatever he wanted.
Yeah, he was supervised.
And I think he was just... And you know what? It was probably a gag that he did in real life.
Yeah.
With his friends.
Yeah.
You know, he probably, because he was, oh, yeah, obviously serious man, but hilarious and always joking around, but probably took it and started and coughed and just at one point just said, paced it by the best.
Yeah.
Which is a great, funny line.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think the second one, I think he, it was real. I think when he coughed in the that episode with getting the maid,
he
just figured.
Dollar employment agency.
Yeah. Because you, if you watch Alice, she's got that look. She's kind of like, and it was great look. She's kind of giving that, like she's watching a knee break, you know? She's, and so I think that he did the, you know, that again because he was like, all right, I coughed.
Yeah.
I might as well do it again.
Yeah, do it again and, you know, just
absolutely
take it one more step.
Right.
And so and make it funny.
What say you people out there? I can't believe I said, what say you? You know, with the Dial J episode.
Yes, everyone.
But Dusty out in that hall is just, I mean, I would have never looked at Dusty out in that hall before I started doing this podcast.
Yeah.
I would have never, you know, you just think, man, it's funny. You know,
it's funny.
It's just
Dusty
part of
out,
it.
Yeah, just party cough, Dusty out in that hall. Boom, okay.
Yeah.
But now.
When's the next part?
Yeah.
Now it's like, it's so great.
It's great. It's
and
the line.
It's for, and I, and this is what I believe for the people who listen who are DEFCON 3s and they just, they, everything. It's like a little nugget that even though other people see, it's something that we cherish. It's silly. It's just him coughing in the hallway, but it's Jackie Gleason coughing in the hallway. And he's coming in, and he goes Dusty out in that hall. And it's just so
it's
great.
Great.
For us.
It's great. Oh,
God, yeah. If we talk to a DEFCON 1, they'd be like, I guess he coughed.
Yeah, coughed, I guess.
No. You don't know.
Lives in a dingy building. I guess it could be dusty and moldy out there.
Yeah, exactly. They're not appreciating how great that is. Something as simple as that.
And it's even better that we believing that it was ad-libbed
makes it 20 times better.
Because just think, the writers didn't put the pen to the paper and write that.
Right.
He did that.
Absolutely.
So that makes it even better.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Dusty out in that hall.
Dusty out in that hall. Oh my God.
All right. We are at over 40 minutes.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I swear.
Okay. Oh, wow.
But you know what?
I ain't going to get to my list.
I know. We didn't. We're going to have to start off with that. We got to everything we wanted to do today. We did. And that's probably why we did over 40 minutes because we normally never get to everything that we wanted to
do. We never do. We never do.
So let's get to Louis' trivia and
the intro. I love the intro for the trivia.
Yeah, the intro. It's amazing. it's an amazing trivia. Here we go.
Tom, who's our next contestant? Herb, our truck driver from Parsippany. Joe Conte.
Herb. I love when he says Herb. We should have that sound effect.
Herb.
All right,
Joey.
All right, Lou.
Here's
here we
your
go.
Question.
All right.
In the sleepwalking episode.
Okay.
All right. When everything's all over and they think Norton's sleepwalking is all done and Ralph's sitting at the table, what does he celebrate with?
Does he say he's celebrating?
Yes.
Something?
Before he goes into Cramden's sleep.
I am going to celebrate with a warm glass of milk.
You got it.
Did I get it?
Yes, you Woo-hoo! Did. Yes, you
nice.
Did.
Nice. Thank you.
And one of these weeks, I want to talk about that line after that. With such ends Mr. Norton's sleeping career and begins Cramden's sleep. It's like he just like totally. We can save that.
I'm
write it down.
Sleep.
Jot it down.
The Walker episode.
The Walker episode.
The Walker episode.
Well, I just got back from Nantucket. Yeah. That's how we speak up there.
Nice way to tie it all around.
All right,
everybody.
What a call. Put a Nantucket call back.
Well, listen, thank you, everybody, for giving us a listen. We'd really, really appreciate it. First of all, thank you to the Facebook group, The Honeymooners Raccoon Lodge.
Yep.
Brother Norton and Joy are a joy.
They are.
Waka waka. But they are fantastic. We love them. We appreciate them letting us use their platform. And our pal, Brother Norton, does his own podcast. And he does the Honeymooners Trivia Podcast. And he also does the Honeymooners Thursday Trivia Podcast, which is once a week. And it's just one question. Check it out. It's on Spotify. And also my show, which is the Conti and Kenny Show, which is on every Monday night at 7 o'clock live on Facebook. We're also on morelikeradio.com. And if you want to buy my first comedy CD that I made 9 years ago called Joe Conti Happiness, it's on DVD, CD. But you, if you look up Joe Conti Happiness, I don't even think you have to buy it anymore. I think it's on Amazon. You can just listen to it. And I think that's it.
Well, Joe, I have to say, I did send you a picture from Nantucket.
Did you?
A motorboat with three propellers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did. He sent me a motorboat with three propellers.
Stupid. All right. I've had enough of this.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Episode 44 in the books. And we'll see you next time.
Night, all.
We'll have to do this again real soon.
How about tomorrow night?
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.